Catherine Medina of APCO Worldwide, former executive director of the Chief Human Capital Officers Council at the Office of Personnel Management, looking at the results of the 2014 Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey. I have to say, Catherine, as I look at these numbers, my biggest surprise, I guess, is that they're not worse than they actually are, given what federal employees have been dealing with over the past year.
I think you took the words right out of my mouth. I looked at this and I thought, you know, I can't imagine anybody would be surprised by the data. And it certainly wasn't a matter of whether the numbers were going to drop. It really was a matter of how bad they were going to be. So I think we sort of just take a deep breath and look at where we can sort of dive into making improvements and move on from here and hope that there aren't any more threats of sequestration and furloughs to further complicate things.
None of those things seem to be on the horizon, and in fact, we certainly don't expect the pay freeze to continue. The president's proposed a 1% increase. My colleague Emily Kopp points out in the story on federalnewsradio.com that satisfaction with pay didn't go down as badly as some other areas of satisfaction among employees across government. And she noted, and I wasn't trying to be funny when she did it, but it struck me as funny, you know, a 1% pay raise compared to zero the 3 years before that makes 1% look pretty good.
Right. Well, everything's a matter of perspective, isn't it? And, you know, I don't know how many times I've heard people say over the past, you know, 12 to 18 months, well, at least I have a job. So I think if you're not seeing a big dip in pay satisfaction, it's a certain recognition that, look, you know, things could have been worse and things could be worse in the future. And, you know, I'll be thankful for what bit of job security I have and that I'm getting a steady paycheck.
The biggest rock to push up a hill, though, Catherine, it appears to me, is the perception of leadership. The issue with leadership across agencies has been falling. The numbers have been falling steadily over the past couple of years. But Emily cites this number, just 49.5% agreed with the statement that senior leaders in their organization maintain high standards of honesty and integrity. And that's down 53.6% last year, 57% in 2010. That's almost a 10-point drop in 2 years, or 3 years rather. That's really a problem. That's really a big deal.
Yeah, it is. And one of the things I mentioned when I talked to Emily was this phenomenon about the turnover in senior leadership with respect to political appointees. And you'll notice that there's not a distinction, and the data's not there in terms of whether the definition of senior leader, right? So that's a problem in and of itself. As OPM gets better about drawing out data and giving the agencies more meaningful data and drilling down by unit, business unit, this is something that I think they need to look at in terms of defining senior leader, because that could be a wide range of individuals and levels of leadership. So if you're thinking about political appointees who happen to turn over a lot, I mentioned the case of DHS where they've been without a lot of top leadership. Well, you know, that creates a big gap and a big vacuum. And who's going to be happy when they feel like nobody's minding the ship? So I think that's a big issue.
The results are what they are, and they're posted at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And we've mentioned Emily Kopp's story about the numbers a couple of different times. So you've sat in the room over the last several years, Catherine, before you left OPM, as the human capital officers would look at these numbers. And I imagine the conversation immediately drifted to, okay, so what do we do about it? Some of the issues are beyond their control. Obviously, if somebody is feels impacted by sequestration or shutdown or any of those kinds of issues, that's beyond the control of anybody inside an organization. But there are elements that they can at least lead on, if not take control over. And I wonder, when we see these numbers the way that they are this year, what do you expect that conversation to look like, not just in the human capital officers cohort inside government, but more broadly in the leadership realm across government?
Well, a couple of things. I think one notable bit of data was the satisfaction of immediate supervisors. And I think that is, as someone mentioned, a bright spot in the data, because if you're looking at key retention metrics, you're going to look at immediate supervisors and the satisfaction from employees at that level, because that most importantly affects retention much more than a top level supervisor or, you know, senior leadership would. So I think that's a good indicator, and that I think that's something that they'll continue to work on. I know that Chico's work very diligently to do first-line supervisor, first-time supervisor management, and give them the leadership tools that they need to be good supervisors. I think, you know, the agencies of the Chico Council, in terms of leadership, are very, very focused on the employee viewpoint survey. And I think they will take a look at the senior leadership issue and try to tackle that. You know, the sad thing is, and the reality is, that it's much harder to move up on this survey than it is to move down. And if you think about the impact of furloughs and sequestration and how that's such a universal event in terms of the federal workforce and how that has an impact on moving those numbers downward, I mean, think of it conversely, and what kind of unifying event would it have to be on the positive side to get agencies to see an upward trend in 1 year or even in 2 years. So I definitely think it's going to be an uphill battle. I mean, you mentioned the pay increase. A 1.7% COLA is not going to do it, I hate to say. So there's that challenge that I think all the Chicos feel, and sometimes, you know, having this survey done on an annual basis now is a bit challenging in itself because of the timing. Once you get the data, you've got very, very little time, meaningful time, to make a change that is going to impact the survey responses for the next year.
Catherine Medina of APCO Worldwide and formerly of the Office of Personnel Management. Are there ways that people will use these numbers or should use these numbers to plan their agency's workforces beyond just let's try to make this a better place to work? I mean, it seems to me the numbers would indicate, well, things are not so great. And as you say, it's not really easy to push the rock up the hill in a short period of time. So should we plan for a little bit maybe more attrition than we were thinking of before? And I'm just throwing that out there as a possibility. Are there things like that that you either expect to see or that you think people should be planning for using these numbers as context?
Well, as I mentioned, nobody should be surprised by these numbers. So what I would have expected from the Chicos is that they had braced themselves and their leadership for these types of results. And they don't make human capital, workforce plans, strategic plans year over year. So they're definitely taking the long view. They've got plans in place that are going to help them in terms of the employee viewpoint, in terms of their workforce planning, much farther than just a one-year outlook. So while this is helpful information, again, it's a point in time that was particularly challenging, and I think it'll be helpful. But in terms of their overall planning, they're probably going to, you know, retool a little bit or look for the specific areas they need to shore up. But they probably have plans in place, and this will inform a little bit, but probably not that much.